Good evening. It's good to be back. Actually, it's good to be up here, you know? Been sitting in the chair all week long and been kind of getting antsy, you know? Been trying to hold myself back from wanting to just get up here and preach what the Lord has on my heart. But you know, I was thinking about something. I was thinking about a couple things Willie Cosby said last night. Remember when he said something about David? He was talking about David. And he said that David had 5 stones. Remember that? And he had 4 stones in his pocket for the future. Well, you know, and he said that he was waiting. He had some plans for those rocks. Well, you know, I got some plans too. I got some plans for the future. Amen. I got some things that I want to get done. You know what? One thing I started thinking about is, it sure would be a shame if, a few years down the line, Oak Knoll wouldn't exist no more. You know? Wouldn't that be a shame? That really would. You know what I got plans for the future? In 3 years, I want to see the rigs in the West back here telling us that they got churches started in Poland. That's what I want to see. And in those 3 years, I want to be working. You know what happens, brethren, when you got your work and you got low morale? You know, you just can't function right. You see people over there are not doing anything. People over here are not doing anything. People over there aren't doing anything. And you're saying, well, I'm not going to do it either. I'm working hard and I'm not going to do it. That's how you start feeling. And it's a shame. You know, the rigs in the West, they gave up a lot. They did, man. I mean, they sold everything. I couldn't believe it. To tell you the truth, when they said they were going to Poland, I had some selfish feelings in me. I didn't want them to go. You know, I wanted them to stay there and help us out in Mexico. You know, but they got a burden. They put everything aside and they said, you know what? We're gonna let the work there and we're gonna go and start another church in Poland. Well, they haven't heard. You know, I don't know how many of you guys have heard the video here the other night. And there was a young lady on there speaking, and she says, you know what, I'm 30 years old, and in my 30 years here in Poland, I've never heard these, you know, people like this preaching the gospel on the streets. I've never heard. This is unreal. You know, I would hate for the glory of God to leave this place. We're doing so much. You know what, and I really don't care about the numbers. You know, I don't care about the numbers because God has never been interested in numbers. Neither has He been interested in money. Hey man, everything is God's. Everything that you have, everything that I have, everything that He's given you, from the blood-bought salvation to what you got in your pockets, is God's. And sometimes we are so selfish that always looking for us. You know, I don't like being alone. When we were talking to Riggs over the computer, you know, Danny has his program or whatever, and you could actually talk over the computer for free. And you could hear, the other people on the other line. We were talking to the Riggs. And, Janice always made fun of me, because whenever the girls would get together, when we lived in Mexico, and they would go off and visit, you know, the other women and the other churches, and they'd spend the whole day. I hated it because Karen was gone for me. You know, and I mean, I don't have no kids. I have a couple of cats and about 15 fish in my aquarium. You know? And so, I mean, that's it. You know, Karen's gone and I'm alone. And she always said, you know, I got a dog next door, John, and he's always howling. And I know that's what you sound like, you know, when Karen's gone. And she wanted me to howl over the computer because she missed me, you know, she missed my whining because, you know, she was there when Karen was away from me. You know, and she heard, oh man, oh John's over there, wow, you know, howling away because Karen's gone. Well, you know what? I think sometimes we get that feeling when we're not doing what God wants us to do. We get alone. And you know why? Because God's not there. You know, I would hate for God to leave this church and go work at the Christian Academy Word of God over here at the corner. You know, I would hate for God to say, you know, these people don't, they want to, they're wrapped up in themselves and fine. They want to do their own little thing over there. If they want to have a church party and just play church, that's fine. But you know, we are in a war. I don't know if you guys have figured this out. You know, we aren't going to live forever. You know, Michael said, something real wise. Not often Mike, Michael says some things wise, but Michael says something real wise. You know, he says, haven't you figured out these older people, they're now 60 and 70, are saying time went by fast? We need to take heed to our time. Redeeming the time, Michael said. Redeem the time. I don't like it when I feel alone. You know, I do not like it. I do a lot for my wife. I really do. You know, I mean, I do a lot to get her mad, you know, but one of these days I'm going to learn one of these days. But, I love her. I really do. But you know what? I think sometimes somewhere we've lost this love that Brother Adrian was talking about, you know, our first love, which is Christ. You know what God's interested in? He's interested in souls. God wants to save souls. Look in Matthew chapter 7. You know, God's not interested in numbers, like I said. You know what God wants? He wants a strong church. God wants a strong church. You know what? You know, if this church, I don't care how small it is, if this church is strong in the things that God wants, if it has His vision on what God wants, it can do anything. Man, the Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? You know what? I have nowhere to go. I have nowhere to go. God is my Father. God's my Father. You know? God's not a respected person. Hey man, I'm brown. You're white. You know? That's not politically correct, as a matter of fact, being white. Do you know that nowadays? It's not. It's a shame, but it's not. You know? It's incredible. People, they just choose and choose, and they have respect to person, but God is not that way. God doesn't save because of the color of your skin. God doesn't use people because somebody is prettier than another person or somebody has a bigger bank account or whatever. Just like the brother said, He's going to use what you have. Amen. You know what? When I got saved and I started coming to this church, I could not wait to come to the next meeting. I'm serious, man. You know what? I had to bite my tongue when I worked Wednesday nights there at Sam's, you know, and I had to bite my tongue because, you know, our doors, we closed. I worked in the tire shop the last couple years there, and we closed the doors at 6 o'clock. Well, I had to bite my tongue not to complain because we still had people in there, and I still had to work, and I was going to miss the meeting. I knew I was going to miss the meeting. I had to bite my tongue. You know, because I knew I had this responsibility and I had to be a good worker. And when I got done and closed the shop, then I could leave. But I wanted to come here. Every Sunday, I wanted to be here. You know, they offered me, and at Sam's at that time, you could get paid time and a half on Sunday if you worked. Time and a half, man, that was, you know, I don't know about you guys. You guys are probably making, you know, a whole lot, you know, more money than I was, you know, working at Sam's. But hey, buddy, $15 an hour was a pretty good, you know, amount to me. You know what happened when I got saved? I said, no, I don't want that. You know what I said? I said, you know, I went in there and talked to my manager and I said, you know, if it's all right with you, I'll work any other day. I work 6 days a week if you want, you know, but just give me my Sundays off. Could you do that? And I mean, I already had a good testimony there for being a good worker. And he said, no problem. As a matter of fact, I really don't think he did it because I was a good worker. I think he did it because I was one of the highest paid people there in that department. And he said, I'm saving money. I know that's why he did it. But you know what? I was gaining a blessing. I was gaining truth, and I was supporting, and I was praying, and I was speaking about the thing that I love to speak about. In Matthew chapter 7, 24. You know what? I know it's late, and I know that many of us are tired, want to go home. I was just getting to that, brother. It's Friday night. That's right. I was just getting to that. You know, I remember when I was lost here in San Antonio. I remember that I used to get off of work when I was working inside. We didn't get off of work till 9:30, sometimes 10 o'clock. And I was rushing to get off of work at 10 o'clock so I could stay up all night and party. I wasn't tired. But the Bible says, when you were servants of sin, what fruit had you?
Amen. That's right.
You know, I mean, it's wasted years.
Right.
Now, you know what? If I stay up a little bit longer to hear the Word of God, it ain't wasted years.
Amen.
You know? I mean, I know a lot of you people say, well, you know, you guys are full time. You can sleep in late. Well, praise God. You know? But at one time, I had to get up too. You know what I'm saying? I had to get up. And to tell you the truth, you know, if I had to come back for whatever reason, if God said, that's it. We're going to close this baby up. And I had to come back, and I'd get a job. And I'd say, Brother Lindell, Brother Brian, Brother Steve, I guess we got to start from scratch again. And it's going to be fun. I'd come right here. I'd come right here and help the work out again. Let's see if we can get this baby going again.
Amen. Amen.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. It says, and then will I profess, 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. You know, have you figured something out, brethren? That rock is still here. You know, that rock of my salvation is Christ. You know, when I got saved 5 years ago, you know, he's still faithful. He's still faithful and he still does anything and everything. You know, a lot of people have come and gone, you know, Brother Lindell mentioned it, you know, and you know, he jokes about it and he says, you know, it's probably because, you know, some things I say. Well, you know, praise God for that.
Amen.
Right here in this chapter, he's talking about beware of false prophets. You know them by your fruit. You know, some people in this church care about your souls. You know, they care about your lives. They want the work to go on.
Amen.
You know, as long as I've known these guys, we're talking 5 years. That's a long time for some of us, you know. But as long as I've known these guys, they've preached the truth.
Amen.
They have. You know, they've never offended me. Seriously. You know, I look at them and they preach something hard and I say, that didn't feel good. You know, but it's true, man. Where do I got to go? If I'm out that door, man, where do I got to go? By the grace of God, he brought me here, and I'm learning doctrine. I'm hearing the word of God. I am helping people preach the word in other countries. My goodness, we have two missionary families in Poland. And then I'm preaching. They have enough language down to get on the streets and preach it. That's awesome, man. That's great. But man, you know what? Sometimes we just think, oh, this house, you know, this house is, you know, I don't know, it's weak or whatever. Man, it's just, your house is going to be as strong as you build it. You know? Brother Linda was telling me about his house. He did a lot of things and got ridiculed because he did a lot of extra things. You know? But hey, man, it's paying off. It's paying off. Those people that said, no, you don't even spend that much money there. He went ahead and did it, and it's a good house. Well, there's some things that we got to give up. There's some things that we got to do. There's some things that we got to suffer in this life just for a while. Man, 2.5 years on the field. I can't believe it. It's amazing. 2.5 years, God has supported me on the field. You know what? When I get my support list, I don't even know some of the people. I say half of the people I don't know. I don't know if they've even met me. I read the name, I think, hey, Bill, who's this? I don't know who, you know? I don't know who they are. But you know, they heard. They might have known Brother Brian or Brother Steve or Brother Lindo, and they say, hey, they're good people. I know if I give my money to them, they'll publish the gospel. They want a bill too. Listen to what it says here. Look also, turn with me to Mark chapter 3, 27. Here we have Christ. He's casting out demons and they're coming and they're accusing him of doing it by Beelzebub, by the devil, by that power. And he says in 27, he says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. You know, I know what God's talking about here. You know, he's talking about binding the devil.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm going to apply to something else, brethren. What about our house? You know, the devil, just like the brother was talking about, he's just got a little time. And he's going to be throwing his fits. And he's going to be trying to knock down that house. But man, if the devil has you lit, he's going to go in and spoil everything you got.
Right.
You know, I want this house that we're building here in San Antonio. We are part of the body, aren't we?
Right.
You know, we're an arm of the body of Christ. We're not all there is in Christ. You know, this isn't it, man. There's more people. Oh man, I tell you what, in these 2.5 years that I have been serving the Lord in Mexico, I've met some great preachers, and I've met some real Christians, and I have spoken, I have, you know, fellowshiped with them, I have preached with them, I have prayed with them, I have met with them, I have counseled them. It's been awesome to see what God is doing in Mexico. Wouldn't you want to be here in 3 years when the rigs in the West get back? When they're over there, and believe me, man, you get weary. I mean, we're only 13 hours away from the border, brother, and we gotta come in and get recharged. Give me a break, man. They're across the sea. Well, what happens if they start hearing, oh man, these people down at Oak, no, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're slacking or whatever it is. Don't you think they're gonna get a little discouraged? I think so. We are a part in the body of Christ. Just do your part. What is your part in this body? You know, I don't know, but being a Christian, being a son of God, has been the best time of my life.
Amen.
It has, man. It's been a blast. It's been a total blast, man. I tell you what, you know, there's not a moment go by when I'm not having fun. I mean, I'm serious. I have fellowship with the Father. I can go to him anytime I want. This is something that the lost person does not have. Do you understand that? We are God's people. And we are chosen people. God has sought us out, man. God died for you and me. Shed that blood. And he bought us. And he bought us with a price. We need to take that out there. We need to take that to the world. Look also, if you would, in Acts 26. This is going to be a two-part series since I'm preaching tomorrow. I'm going to have mercy on you guys. So you guys better show up. Acts 26. Let me find it first. Acts 26. This is the verse that hasn't been said in the meetings yet. A little surprised. Verse 16, talking about Paul's conversion. You know, this is an awesome story too. Really amazes me. You know, here we have a man who's persecuting the church, and he gets saved. And he has the world against him. Can you imagine, you know, having your Paul? That's a great book, man. I mean, I haven't finished reading it, you know, but there's some powerful stuff in there. You know, and what amazes me, it's incredible. These people die for what they believed in. They die. They actually go and say, you know what? I'm a Christian. And not only that, because they took that step of faith and said, God's going to work everything out. I'm saved. I'm born again. If they want to persecute me, they let them persecute me. And they go ahead and do it. Sometimes, I was reading in there, that sometimes even the soldiers, the people that are taking them there to torture them, get saved. And then they jump into the fire, or they jump under the axe, or they do something like that. They get tortured. I mean, they're seeing a testimony. They're seeing this person dying for somebody that said that they just heard, man. They heard that somebody died for them, and you know, they bought them, and now they're giving their life for the gospel, for a testimony, and some of them even get saved. It's amazing. Look what it says here. It says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. Oh man, this is powerful, brethren. He was sent to open their eyes. He was sent so they can turn from the power of Satan. Is that true? Is that true? Are we under the dominion of Satan? That's what the Bible says. We are born into this world, not children of God, but children of the devil. We shouldn't be following his ways. We shouldn't be going back into the world. We should count it all as done. Man, I tell you what, I don't know, but if the Lord, you know, if the Lord wraps this up and, you know, closes the doors in this church, doesn't use us anymore, what are you going to do? That's a scary thought. It really is. But I believe in my heart that God didn't look at the numbers. You know, is there somebody here that wants to do what he has called us to do? Is there somebody here that wants to open their eyes?
Amen.
That wants to turn them from darkness to light?
Amen.
Is there anybody here that wants to turn them from the power of Satan that they may receive forgiveness of sins? You know, I didn't know that I was a sinner. Seriously believed that I was a sinner until someone told me. I didn't believe that until someone told me. Someone opened up the Bible and they let me know. We have a responsibility to do the same thing. What we have received freely, I didn't pay a nickel for it, man. Nothing. I didn't pay nothing for it. What I have received, man, I'm a debtor. I gotta tell.
Amen.
I have to tell. You have to tell. Hey man, you know, I don't think God is calling us to do too much. I really don't. You know, it really is amazing to me how many people reject the security we have in Jesus. You know, there's a guy in Mexico who Brent started the study with him. And this guy and his family, they were jumping around from religions, man. Jumping around. They find him. We start having studies with him. They seem like they're sincere. But you know, just a few months back, they stopped coming to the church. And then we try to visit them or whatever, and, you know, they just, washed up or whatever. Well, it turns out this guy and his family has gone back to the Catholic Church. And he's gone back, and because he has rejected the Mormons and the Protestants and the Jehovah Witness, man, this guy's been at all. But because he's rejected all these things and gone back to the Catholic Church, now the Catholic Church is giving him a little help, a little support, helping him out. He went back for the money. It's a shame. Now, you know, I don't know if he got saved or not. Who knows? We baptized him. I don't know if he got saved. But you know, he went back. I can't go back. I got saved.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I know that I believed in Christ. I cannot go back. I don't know how anybody would want to live worldly. I can't understand it. And I'm not talking in the sense, hey brother, we all have worldly things. You know, I'm not talking about that. You know, I'm not talking about dreaming about getting a bigger boat or, you know, a bigger house or whatever. Hey man, you know, sometimes we, you know, it's just a Christian walk and we gotta, you know, work it all out. But I'm talking about doing a 360 and going all the way back. I can't do that. I want to go forward.
Amen.
I want to press on.
Yeah.
I want to run this race that God has given me. You know, God has given me, I mean, I actually have a spot in this race.
Amen.
And I'm running.
Amen.
You know, I'm running. You know, I mean, these guys are running for the Olympics, man. Running to get that gold medal. Forget that.
Amen.
I'm in God's race.
Amen.
Hey man, I'm a little big and I probably can't run that fast. But you know what? I'm going to endure, brother.
Amen.
I'm going to pick up a pace that I can handle.
Amen.
And I'm going to do it. I'm going to press on. And oh man, how I want to be here in 3 years, brother.
Amen.
When the rigs and the West get back. I want to be here. I want to be right there listening to these guys telling us what God has done in Poland.
Amen.
Don't you want that? I want that. Maybe the Lord will come back and they'll be telling us this in heaven. They'll be saying, man, Lord, this is what I've done. And we'll be all rejoicing. But you know what? It's going to be too late to do anything once we're up there. It's going to be too late, man. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for another night you've given us, Lord, to hear your word. Oh, we ask, Lord, that you use this, Father, that you use this church, Lord, to take the gospel into all the world. Lord, that you save and you start churches, Lord. We ask for you to build this church, Lord. Help us to serve you better every day, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's fast.
Part two. Well, for those of you who are wondering, this is a different shirt. I already asked. I already had somebody ask me, are you wearing the same shirt?
You have two green shirts.
Now, well, actually, the other one's lighter. This one's a little darker. And this also has a stain on it somewhere up there. See that? Karen said, make sure you keep your arm right there. All right. It's been a great week, you know, like Brian was saying. You know, I'd like to thank, all your hard work, to keep us fed and, fellowship and open the houses for us and all this. It's been great, man. Been some good eating all week long. I'm not just talking about, regular food, you know, but spiritually, really, it's been real good. Mornings and evening meetings have been really, really good. And I just like for you guys to know that that we are thankful, seriously, about all your efforts that you put out towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter. I want to talk about a prophet by the name of Balaam. You know, last night I was talking about this church. I was talking about, you know, about the future. Talking about some things that, that I'm looking forward to in this work that we have. I was talking about, you know, it'd be a shame for this work just to close up, you know, for God just to quit moving and, not have that, that fire, not have that, power that I think we've had over the years and taking this gospel to a lost world. You know, they ain't nothing else that we need to, keep busy about. They ain't nothing else. This is it. The gospel. Spreading the gospel to the lost world. You know, the reason why I started off that way, the reason why I started in just reminding you about what we have at stake is, so you can just think about it. Think about all that the Lord's done in your life. You know, think about when God saved you. Think about how much a responsibility we have to take this gospel out to the lost world. You know, I think last night I also said that I'm not looking at numbers. You know, I'm not talking about numbers as far as winning lost souls. But what I'm talking about is that I don't think God is interested in numbers to support the mission field, you know? What God wants is a strong church. What God wants is strong people. And I thought about three things concerning this guy Balaam. Three things that Balaam did to hinder Israel, to hinder the work. God spoke through this man, Balaam. Read here in 2 Peter in verse 15. He says here, talking about Balaam, he says, which, talking about the false prophets, he says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now this story about Balaam, it's found in Numbers chapter 22. And if you start off reading right there in the first verse, it talks about this king by the name of Balak. And this guy calls Balaam. He calls him because obviously this guy has a reputation of doing some magical stuff. I don't know. But he wanted Balaam to curse Israel because he was a little scared. You see, Israel had just gotten done offending God, and they repented. They got it right. And they were right there on his borders. And he saw a great multitude right there. And he was a little scared. Because God had given nations into the hands of Israel.
Amen.
He had given, they repented, and God said, look, I'm going to give you, just go in there and possess the land. But they repented, you see, before. And God gave it to them. Well, this guy, this king was a little scared. You know, we find over there in Numbers 22, if you want to turn there real quick. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, and Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And he called this guy and he wanted him to curse Israel. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. God didn't want to do it. You know, Balaam did something wrong here. He did something wrong. This guy calls and he offers them money. He offers them honor to promote this guy to a position if only he would come and curse Israel, God's people. But you know what? He listened and he went with them. It's an amazing thing. He already knew what God said, but he went anyways. It's an amazing thing. Look, right here it says in verse 9, the men were there, they were talking to him. In verse 9, it says here, and God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? You know, he had no business even talking to these guys. And he was with them. And then he goes. God tells him not to go, and he goes anyways. And God tries to use a mule to talk to him, and he still doesn't listen. He goes anyways. You know why he went? Because he had his eyes on money. He wanted money. He wanted honor. He wanted to be lifted up in this world. You know what I think? I think that can be a hindrance. If we want to build a strong church, then we need to keep our eyes off the things of this world. Man, it's going to cost you something. If we want to win souls for Christ, it's going to cost something. If we want to keep this church, and I'm not just talking about us as a body. I'm talking about each and every one of us, because we are the church of God. Amen. Each and every one of us is a vessel. And just like the brother said, I don't know who said it, but God doesn't pick up a broken tool to use. God wants a tool that can be used effectively. And one thing that can destroy the work is if we put our eyes on this world. It's an amazing thing. Brother Lindell said that many times over the years that he's gone against the money. He's gone against the money. He said, a few times he could have been a rich man, but he decided to go against the money. I think God's blessed. I really do. You know, I don't think we should keep our eyes on this world and to try to work hard and hard and get everything that we possibly can here in this world. I really don't think that should be our main focus.
Amen.
I don't think that our main focus ought to try to get people in here with money. I don't think that should be our strong focus. I think what we ought to do is preach the word. I don't think we should keep our eyes away from this word and look into other places. I think we should just preach what God has right here and keep our eyes on the author of our faith.
Amen.
Verse 17 of Peter, 2 Peter. Talking about Balaam here, talking about these guys who are preaching the wrong thing, who are putting their eyes on the money. Going the way of Balaam. Covetousness. The way of Balaam. It says here, these guys are wells without water. Wells without water. It says these guys are clouds that are carried with the tempest. You know, I don't want to be a well without water. I don't want to be just a cloud that looks like it has rain. I don't want to be carried by the wind. I want to be carried by the Spirit.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be just look good. I want to do the work.
You know, it's just an amazing thing. God, Jesus said in John chapter 7, look there real quick, John chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 37. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what's supposed to be flowing out of us is living water.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be wells that are dried up. And a lot of times we are. We're not supposed to be clouds that look like we have rain. We're supposed to be letting rain out.
Amen.
We have that water living inside of us. This world doesn't have that. This world is lost and going to hell. We figured that out? Lost and going to hell. Sometimes I think we get used to that phrase. Lost and going to hell. Oh, he's just lost and going to hell. You know? Let's just go on with our life. You know, I think over there in Jeremiah, I was reading there just the other day. They were in the talking about the captivity. And God is talking to Israel, and he's saying, you know, go out there and build your houses. Plant. Eat. Give your daughters in marriage. You know, let your sons marry, man. Have children in the midst of Egypt, in the midst of the captivity. Hey, you know what? I don't think God is telling us we got to live poor. I don't think God is telling us, you know, forget about your carnal things. I think what God is trying to tell us is let's keep focused. Get our priorities right.
Amen.
We want to build a strong church. Keep our eyes off the world, off the riches. Let me tell you, man, this world has a lot to offer, but it ain't worth it. We're going to lose it all, man. We're going to lose it all. Look, if you will, also in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5, talking about this living water that the child of God has. Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 15, he says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. You know what we're supposed to be doing? Drinking that living water. We're supposed to be giving that living water freely. That's amazing to me that we all received, if we're born again, we have received water freely. But yet sometimes we are so caught up, we don't want to give it. Sometimes we start, you know, thinking about us. Well, I got to have this, I got to have that. But you know, brothers, I think we need to give. I think we need to give this word. And I think we need to preach it. And I think we need to stand behind it. Oh, I tell you what, pack this place out. Oh, I want this place packed out. I want it packed out, but I want the right people in here. I want the people in here that want to carry this gospel out somewhere else. Those are the people I want. Man, I don't want people that just want some kind of a social gathering. Forget that, man. If you want to have a social gathering, go to gyms. But here we got something to do.
Amen.
Right here in this building, we got to preach and we got to teach. Why? Because the evil days are coming, man. Those days are right around the corner. And you know what? If we're not grounded in what God has to say, we're going to fall. Oh, you know what? This church could go 50 years. It could go another 100 years, man. But what kind of church is it going to be? Is it going to be a church full of social programs? Is it going to be a church that invites, you know, all these kind of groups in and we go and have parades with them and everything else and not worry about anything but just ourselves? Or is it going to be a church that preaches the Word of God and is concerned about souls?
Amen.
You know what I've figured out? I figured out that Jesus actually changes lives.
Amen.
He actually puts marriages together. He actually puts friends together. He can work things out that I can't work out. If somebody gets saved, if somebody hears the word and gets really saved, then man, we fixed the problem. We have fixed it because Jesus is in the business of fixing. Also look in Jude. Another thing I found here pretty interesting. Jude. Talks about Balaam again here. Verse 11. It says here, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, perished in the gainsaying of Korah.
You know, I was thinking about the error of Balaam. Going back to that story in Numbers in chapter 22 and 23, after God had told him not to go, and he went anyways, God said, okay, go ahead and go. But the word that I told you, the message I gave you, that's what you're going to give to him. And it is that you're not going to curse Israel. You're not going to do it. They're my people. But he goes anyways, okay? He goes, and this king takes them up upon these mountains to check out Israel from three different sides. Well, man, he goes on the one mountain, he's looking at them, and he says a parable, and he blesses them. Okay, let's go to another mountain. Takes them to another mountain. He has another view of this place, of this people. And he can't find anything wrong with them. Goes to another mountain. Nothing. He blesses them each time. Well, you know what I think? This guy wanted to curse them. That's what I think. Otherwise, he went to God, to three mountains. He wanted to give this king what he wanted. You know, many times I think we look in ourselves and we think, you know, I can't be used. You know what Balaam thought? Balaam thought these people should be cursed. He thought, this is a wicked people. They're going to get cursed. But what he forgot, his error, is that God is ready to forgive. God's ready to forgive, man. You know, you don't have to be put away on some shelf. You don't have to be just idle. Isn't that amazing? That at whatever moment, at whatever stage you are in your Christian walk, you can repent of your sin, you can repent of your laziness, and you can turn to God, and He can use you. God is in the business of repairing.
Amen. Amen.
God is in the business of putting things back together. I want a strong church. I want to be a strong servant.
Amen.
You know what that means? That means I got to go to God. I got to repent. I got to go back to God. Look what it says in Psalms. Turn to Psalms 56, 13. says this. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. You know what God has delivered us? He has.
Amen.
From death.
Right.
That's what God's done. He's delivered us, and we are His people. You know the thing that amazed me through as I was reading these three chapters? The thing that amazed me over everything else, Israel had no idea what was going on. They had no idea, man. Israel was down there and they were trying to get back and they were doing their things down there on the bottom, you know, but they had no idea that God was standing in the gap and He was watching over Israel. He was watching over them. And He was making sure, no, man, I'm not going to curse these people. They're mine. Oh yeah, Israel, lots of times they've fallen. Lots of times we've fallen. We get up, repent, and we can be used. It says in Numbers, talking about God's promises, in Numbers 22, 23, 19, as Balak was hearing what Balaam had to say about these people, he said in 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You know what? We have that same promise in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That same promise. God has promised to bless us.
Amen.
Man, I can't even imagine, I can't even start, finish counting how many blessings I have received from God. It's amazing to me. You know, in this room, man, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be able to stop counting. Just talking about children. Look how many children are in here. Just look at them. I came up here a couple months ago to pick up some tracks, and you had a vacation Bible school. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome. All these kids in here. You know? I walked into Brother Steve, and he was in there teaching. He didn't have time to even say a couple words to me. If I was anybody else, I think anybody else would probably got offended, you know, because Brother Steve didn't talk to him. That's how we are sometimes. Amazing, isn't it? But he was busy. He was teaching the teenagers. Because, you know, I don't know if you've figured this out yet either, but this world is pretty wicked. We need to get a hold of our young people. We need to teach them. Or else this world's going to take them. They're going to swallow them right up. I'm not talking about salvation either. I'm just talking about their life. their life. If your kids are saved, they belong to Christ. The blessings we have from God. You know, me, I don't have no children. But I guarantee you walk into my house and you wouldn't guess that. You wouldn't guess I wouldn't have no children. You can't walk in my yard without finding little people all over the place. You know why? Because I got a nephew and a niece. And they're always over. They're always over. In my house, you can't lift up a chair without finding marbles all over the place. Stevens, you pick up your marbles? Yeah, I picked them up, but I find them all over the place. Every once in a while, you know, I get a craving for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know. I go, man, we got this big old jar of jelly in the refrigerator. And I opened it up about a few months ago, opened it up, and I was going to get me some jelly. You know what was in there? But you know what? God's blessed me. You know, God has blessed me. He's given me a whole bunch.
Amen. Amen.
He really has. He's given you a whole bunch.
Amen.
And sometimes we just get so greedy. We really do. We think about ourselves and we say, oh God, you ain't going to use me. And I know the devil's there and he's putting these things in your head. The world's putting these things in your head. People are always coming against us. But God's right there. He's fighting for you, man. He ain't going to leave you. He's fighting for you. You just got to do the right thing. And what is the right thing? Right here. Third thing that I found about Balaam. Look in Revelation 2:14. Revelation chapter 2 verse 14. Let's start in 13. Talking about a church, Pergamos. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. You know what happened? This guy, Balaam, he never cursed Israel. But you know what he did? He taught them how. He said, look, you want to finish them out? I'll show you. God already told him not to get mixed up with the world. God already told them. But you know what? You give them women that are not from Israel, and they'll bring in all their trash and corrupt them from the inside. You know, I was talking about that house that God is building, that strong house. You know, the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. You know, we're going to have troubles. But I guarantee you, if we build a strong enough house, it ain't going to fall. It's not going to fall, man. If we take heed to what God is saying and not to the doctrine of Balaam, don't get mixed up with the error of Balaam, and don't fall in the way of Balaam, we're going to have a strong church. It says here that these guys, that this guy taught them this doctrine of fornication, idolatry. You know, I was talking to Verlene a couple weeks ago, and she said to me, there was a few years back, about 20 years ago, I don't know how long ago, but she heard this preacher here in San Antonio, good guy, you know, had some good stuff, still has some good stuff. But that he preached way back, he said, you come to my church, you're not going to hear any doctrine. I'm not going to teach against doctrine. Everybody's invited. And he's got a big church. That guy don't teach good stuff. Doctrine teaches, I don't know what he teaches, but almost all his people are Catholic. From what I hear. It's got a big church, man. Huge church. Got a school, whatever. I don't know. It's huge. But no doctrine. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad that we have a church that teaches doctrine.
Amen.
I'm glad we have people that are mean. And they watch out for us. They teach. They exhort. You know what I'm saying? These are the same things that we need to take to the world. A lost and dying world. We need to build a strong church. We don't need to build just any kind of church, but a church with sound doctrine.
Amen.
Sound doctrine. Let me tell you, I wouldn't give anything to go back into the world. I wouldn't, man. And I'm not just saying that. I got saved 5 years ago, and this world had nothing to offer. You know, it's amazing to me. There in Irapuato, some of the questions that the young people have for me. You know, they want to know, and it's amazing. I'm sure it happens here too. They want to know how far you can go without being a sin. Well, you know, can I go to discos? Can I go to nightclubs? I mean, what if I just, preach there? They want to know how far you can go. It's amazing to us, right? It's amazing. Amazing to me. But that's how we are. How far can we go and God still use us? How far can I go? How much do I have to do to God still use me? Can I just show up and put a check in there and have Brother Brian and Brother Steve and Brother Lindo be happy with me just because I'm dropping a check in there? Just show up every now and again, just drop a check and that's it. Is that good enough? I don't think so. God wants a strong church.
Amen.
And we need a strong church.
Amen. Amen.